Section 2 of A Full Moon in March by William Butler Yeats. This Legamus recording may be distributed and adapted freely for any purpose. The King of the Great Clock Tower. To Ninette de Valois, asking pardon for covering her expressive face with a mask. Characters.
First Attendants, read by Phil Benson.
Second Attendant, read by Peter Tucker.
The King, read by Craig Franklin.
The Queen.
The Stroller, read by Ian King.
Narrator, read by Newgate Novelist. The King of the Great Clock Tower. When the stage curtain rises, it shows an inner curtain, whereon is perhaps a stenciled pattern of dancers. At the right and left sides of the proscenium are a drum and gong. The queen should wear a beautiful impassive mask, the stranger a wild, half-savage mask. It should cover the upper part of his face, the lower part being hidden by his red beard. The attendants stand by drum and gong. They slowly part the curtains, singing.
They dance all day that dance in Tirnanog.
There, every lover is a happy rogue, and should he speak, it is the speech of birds. No thought has he, and therefore has no words. No thought, because no clock. No clock, because, if I consider deeply, lad and lass, nerve touching nerve upon that happy ground, are bobbins where all time is bound and wound.
Oh, never may that dismal thread run loose.
For there the hound that Oisin saw pursues the hornless deer that runs in such a fright, and there the woman clasps an apple tight, for all the clamour of a famished man, they run in foam, and there in foam they ran. Nor can they stop to take a breath, that still hear in the foam the beating of a bell.
When the curtains are parted, one sees to left the king and queen upon two thrones, which may be two cubes. There should be two cubes upon the opposite side to balance them. The background may be a curtain hung in a semicircle, or a semicircle of 1 foot Craig screens. The two attendants sit down by drum and gong. They remain facing the audience at either side of the stage, but a little in the shadow.
A year ago you walked into this house. A year ago tonight, though neither I nor any man could tell your family, country, or name. I put you on that throne, and now before the assembled court, before neighbours, attendants, courtiers, men at arms, I ask your country, name, and family. And not for the first time, why sit you there? Dumb as an image made of wood or metal, a screen between the living and the dead. All persons here assembled, and because they think that silence unendurable, fix eyes upon you.
There is a pause. The queen neither speaks nor moves. First attendant strikes the drum 3 times.
Captain of the guard, some traveller strikes a blow upon the gate. Open, admit him.
I admit him, king.
The stroller enters.
What is your name?
Enough that I am called a stroller and a fool, that you are called King of the Great Clock Tower.
What do you want?
A year ago, I heard a brawler say that you had married with a woman called most beautiful of her sex. I am a poet. From that day out, I put her in my songs, and day by day she grew more beautiful. Hard-hearted men that plough the earth and sea sing what I sing. Yet I, that sang her first, have never seen her face.
Have you no wife, mistress, or friend to put into a song?
I had a wife. The image in my head made her appear fat, slow, thick of the limbs, in all her movements like a Michaelmas goose. I left her, but a night or two ago I ate my sausage at a tavern table. A stroller and a man of no account, I dine among the ganders. A gander scoffed. said I would drink myself to sleep or cry my head among the dishes on the table because of a woman I had never seen.
But what have I to do with it?
Send for the queen. The ganders cannot scoff when I have seen her.
He seems a most audacious, brazen man, not caring what he speaks of, nor to whom, nor where he stands.
But never have I said brazen, audacious, disrespectful words of the image in my head. Summon her in, that I may look on its original.
She is at my side.
The queen of the great clock tower.
The queen of the great clock tower is at my side.
Neither so red, nor white, nor full in the breast as I had thought. What matter for all that, so long as I proclaim her everywhere most beautiful?
Go now that you have seen.
Not yet, for on the night the gander gabbed, I swore that I would see the queen, and that, my God, but I was drunk, the queen would dance, and dance to me alone.
What?
Dance, and dance till I grow grateful, and grown grateful, sing.
Sing out you may, but not from gratitude. God, flog this man.
What, flog a sacred man?
A sacred man?
I ran to the Boyne water, and where a sea mew and the salt sea wind yelled Godhead, on a round green hillock lay. 9 days I fasted there, but that's a secret between us three. Then Angus and the gods appeared, and when I said what I had sworn, shouted approval. Then great Angus spoke, "Oh, listen, for I speak his very words. On stroke of midnight, when the old year dies, upon that stroke, the tolling of that bell, the queen shall kiss your mouth, his very words. Your queen, my mouth, the queen shall kiss my mouth."
Come, captain of the guard.
King, I am here.
This man insults me and insults the queen. Take him and bring me his head.
I take him, king.
I go, but this must happen. First, the queen will dance before me. Second, I shall sing.
What, sing without a head?
Grateful I sing. Then, grateful in her turn, the queen will kiss my mouth because it sang.
Stand where you are. Stand. All from the beginning has been lies. Extravagance and lies. Who is this man? Perhaps if you will speak and speak the truth, I may not kill him. What? You will not speak? Then take him, captain of the guard.
I take him.
And bring his head as evidence of his death. If he was not your lover, in that place you come from, if the nothing that he seems, a stroller and a fool, a rambling rogue that has insulted you, laugh, dance, or sing, do something, anything, I care not what, so that you move. But why those staring eyes?
Oh, what may come into my womb?
Ah, that is better. Let the voice ring out. Let everybody hear that song of joy.
He longs to kill my body until that sudden shudder and limbs lie still. Oh, what may come into my womb? What caterpillar my beauty consume?
I do not know the meaning of those words that have a scornful sound.
The king goes to write and returns with the head of the stroller and lays it upon the cubicle throne to the right nearest audience.
Sing, stroller and fool, open that mouth. My queen awaits the song.
The queen begins to dance.
Dance, turn him into mockery with a dance. No woman ever had a better thought. All here applaud that thought. Dance, woman, dance. Neither so red nor white nor full in the breast. That's what he said. Dance. Give him scorn for scorn. Display your beauty, spread your peacock tail.
The queen dances, then takes up the severed head, and stands in centre of the stage facing audience, the severed head upon her shoulder.
His eyelids tremble, his lips begin to move.
Clip and lip and long for more.
Oh, oh, they have begun to sing.
Clip and lip and long for more. Mortal men are abstracts are. What of the hands on the great clock face? All those living wretches crave prerogatives of the dead that have sprung heroic from the grave. A moment more, and it tolls midnight. Crossed fingers there in pleasure can exceed the nuptial bed of man. What of the hands on the great clock face? A nuptial bed exceed all that. Boys at puberty have thought, or sibyls in a frenzy sought. A moment more, and it tolls midnight. What's prophesied, what marvel is, where the dead and living kiss? What of the hands on the great clock face? Sacred Virgil never sang, all the marvel there begun. But there's a stone upon my tongue. A moment more, and it tolls midnight.
When the song has finished, the dance begins again. The clock strikes. The strokes are represented by blows on a gong struck by second attendant. The queen dances to the sound, and at the last stroke presses her lips to the lips of the head. The king has risen and drawn his sword. The queen lays the head upon her breast and fixes her eyes upon him. He appears about to strike, but kneels, laying the sword at her feet. The two attendants rise singing and slowly close the inner curtain.
Oh, but I saw a solemn sight, said the rambling, shambling, travelling man. Castle Dargan's ruin all lit, lovely ladies dancing in it.
What though they danced, those days are gone, said the wicked, crooked hawthorn tree. Lovely lady or gallant man are blown cold dust or a bit of bone.
Oh, what is life but a mouthful of air, said the rambling, shambling, travelling man. Yet all the lovely things that were live, for I saw them dancing there.
The queen has come down stage, and now stands framed in the half-closed curtains.
Nobody knows what may befall, said the wicked, crooked hawthorn tree. I have stood so long by a gap in the wall. Maybe I shall not die at all.
The outer curtain descends. End of section 2.